Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have a go. Okay. I'm so impatient to talk to you, Judith. I don't know whether I can actually wait for the theme tune sort of die down.
You'll have to. Wait.
Okay.
Wait.
I think officially we can start fading now. Fade it. I want to talk to Judith. And I want to talk to Daisy. I want to catch up on things. Oh, God. Okay, now, for starters, it was Daisy's birthday over the weekend. Daisy, are you with us? I think she's kept her mic open.
I'm here.
Oh, how wonderful. How does it feel to be a 40-year-old woman, Daisy?
It's a little odd, but it's great. It's great. It's fine.
A great decade, a classic decade for a woman. And what was your best present and did you enjoy your party?
I had a lovely party. Oh, best present. My mum got me a beautiful blue enamel jug and enamel cups.
Oh, you've moved into the jug phase, haven't you?
Falcon enamel? Yeah, really.
Very
and
nice.
My sister bought me feral jumper.
Well, not the weather to be wearing
not
Fair
the weather.
Isle now. I hope you didn't feel forced to wear the Fair Isle pullover all last Saturday because it was a hot weekend, Daisy. It was a hot weekend.
But you know, I think jugs is something I've noticed.
A nice jug.
Oh, a nice jug. I've got a collection. I've noticed that Sienna is gathering a collection. It's inevitable.
But
inevitable.
I don't use them as a jug.
Of course
often.
Not. No.
They're for wild flowers.
Oh, wow.
When I see a jug, a pretty jug, I think, oh, we want armfuls of wild flowers in that pretty jug.
Welcome to our world, Daisy.
Yes, Daisy, you are so welcome. And was there a point when you were socialising with family and friends and all that kind of thing where you thought, oh, I've kind of had enough of this now. I'd like to creep away and be by myself.
Yeah, in the evening, I had some friends over and my sister was here. She stayed with me. And I just thought I'd quite like everyone to go and I'd just be with
go
my
home.
Sister.
Go home
sit
now.
On the sofa
go
with
now.
Her. Yeah. But no, it was lovely. So
is your sister still there?
Yeah, she is. I mean, she'll be gone by the time this goes out, but she is, so it's currently Tuesday. She goes home tomorrow, so I'll see her again today. And then she goes back to Iona.
Okay, and are you still sort of getting on or has it started to get a bit bitchy now?
A couple of tense moments.
Yeah.
But I think it helps that the kids are around. There's a bit of a distraction, you know. Okay, but we haven't gone full blown. It's not got nasty.
Okay, my sister did a classic yesterday, right? Because I had to go out for the Ant-Man. I'll talk about this later, but I had to go out for the Ant-Man because, you know, we've had this infestation and we were having Rentokil round and you have to leave the house. Anyway, I went down to her house for a cup of coffee. She wasn't in. And I just was driving off then to meet Jeff in Battersea Park. This is all a bit complicated. It doesn't need to be this complicated. Let me just...
I'm ready with her.
Don't do that. Because as I was driving down my road to meet Jeff, I saw my sister on the street and I pulled, you know, when you pull your car over to the wrong side of the road. So I sort of, I parked on the other side of the road to catch her. And I went, I've just been round to your house. And she said to me, this is a road I have lived on for 15 years. I have lived in this area for nearly 40 years, right? I know my own road very well. She said, you do know that this road is not one way. Woman!
I think it's called putting you in your place, Jenny.
It's extraordinary. Anyway,
did you put your flashes on? I bet you put your flashes on, did you?
It was
what women always do.
She'd managed to get a swim. I was so jealous.
Did she? Well, of course she did. She's on it. She's organised.
Oh, God.
Of course she is. She's up earlier than you, I bet you.
She's getting another degree under her belt, isn't she? She wasn't happy enough with a first in history last year. She's on something else now.
She's a hard act to follow, actually.
Well,
she really is.
I've never felt like that.
Well, I think I suppose the truth is that you took a very, very different sort of avenue, didn't you?
Would be the shittest stand-up.
Of course she would. And you'd be the shittest judge. You'd be the worst judge.
No, I'd be a very fair judge.
Oh, but
I'd be a hanging judge. Yeah, yeah, I'd be a hanging judge, though. I would have the black handkerchief at the ready, and I would probably be one of those hanging judges that had an orgasm when I sentenced someone to death. Do you know what
Jenny?
I mean? What kind of judge do you think you'd be, Judith?
Oh, I think I'd sway with the wind. I think my problem
would be actually. Yes,
yeah, I really would.
Exactly
yeah.
what you mean.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. And if I was on a jury, I'd be completely useless.
Have you ever done a jury?
No, I've never. They've never asked me.
I'm so glad they haven't asked me. I don't think either of us are reliable enough.
Well, do you know what? I think they've all. It's almost like
they've snorted them.
You did, didn't you? Yeah. I mean, everybody I know has done it except me.
Yeah,
and
me
now
too.
You. Yeah, and I think somehow there might be some central data.
Yeah,
we're on a list where they thought, you know what, those two, I just don't think they can be trusted.
Yeah, we must never, ever do jury service because
we cannot be trusted. We can't be trusted. Okay. We can't be trusted at all. See, yeah, no, I know what I'm like. I get distracted. I don't concentrate properly. It's like, I don't know about you, but the G7. I mean, I didn't really watch it.
What did you glean from it?
What did I glean? This is the point. I gleaned that Carrie Johnson rented her outfits. I gleaned... Yeah. You know, that they were all on the beach in their suits and ties, poor sods in that sweltering heat.
There must have been a point where somebody just wanted to rent at their clothing.
Oh,
rent their garments and run into the sea.
I mean, funnily enough, it kind of just really reminded me of work trips. I mean, I don't think you've done a similar thing.
One.
Well, no, of course you haven't. You've not really had a proper job, have you? Never, ever in my life. But I remember, you know, that feeling when you go, I mean, for instance, I used to go to, you know, MIP and Cannes and all of that. They're like the ideal home exhibition, really. They sound glamorous. They're not glamorous at all. You know, they'd be the stars having a lovely time. But you'd be, you know, doing grubby deals in the conference hall when it was all nice and sunny.
Rather exciting, actually.
And it's, you know, you're filmed in the most amazing places, but you know you're sweltering hot
and wearing tights. I think Angela Merkel is still wearing tights. I feel very sorry for anyone who feels they have to wear tights.
Yes.
I didn't really watch it because I'm very
shallow, aren't we? We're quite shallow, really.
And the thing is, they kept sort of bringing that baby out to do sort of as if it was a performing monkey.
I know. I noticed that. And it was all very girly and boy-y, wasn't it? Apart from poor old Angela Merkel. You know, the boys were doing all the kind of serious stuff. And then, you know, and there was the girls who went to the theatre.
There was Harry keeping the baby out and all that sort of thing. And nonsense. Now, I don't understand the renting of clothing, do you?
Well, not really.
It's a new thing. It's a modern thing. It's meant to... I think it's eco, you see, Judith.
I see.
This is we share outfits around.
I just hope
the last person wearing it wasn't a stinker.
Oh, God, absolutely. They don't rent shoes as well, do they? Surely not.
Of course, the Queen, who has been cropping up, and she did... Wasn't that Judith?
Oh, Jenny!
I'm a lot younger than the Queen, but I just thought, I like the fabric. I wouldn't have had that dress like the Queen, but a jacket or a statement blouse.
Beautiful,
that
beautiful
with
jacket.
The floral.
Yes.
I
agree with you. She looked gorgeous, didn't she? And a nice pink hat. Well, maybe a little bit
over really
the top.
She looked really fit. She looked like she was going to get... I didn't.
Maybe it's her pulling dress.
Careful.
Look, this is treasonous. Treasonous stuff.
Absolutely. Off with our heads. And of course, Jill Biden always looks quite tasty, doesn't she?
Do you know what? I think she's becoming a bit of a role model for me. I quite like her fringe. I like the length of her hair. I don't like her heels.
I don't like the way she keeps wearing heels.
I haven't noticed her heels, Jenny.
Look wide back. She just needs to... What she needs is all those outfits plus a hotter shoe. And then I'd like her to be comfortable. So we've done... That's us. We've done the G7.
All the important issues therein.
Absolutely. But the rental of clothing, and I'm not... That isn't doing it for me, because I don't know about you, but I get very emotionally attached to certain items of clothing.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Don't
do you?
You
really? Oh, very much so. You know when you sort of, you put away your summer things in, you know, the end of September, yeah, and you basically say goodbye to them for...
You do, you say goodbye to the summer. It is, absolutely.
Yes, yes. And then, well, you know, 9 months, 10 months later, when you get them all out, do you not feel, oh, there she is, there's that top. Oh, look at that cardi. Oh, I love her. And there's, oh,
do you?
Oh, very much so. Oh. Yes, particularly with summer clothes, because I actually do, they go in a big drawer and I yes. don't see them. And when they come out, they're old friends. It's like, oh, here's Karen. Here's Sue. And because I think summer clothes, more than any other clothes, are bought in destinations, aren't they? They're often bought on holidays.
Oh, yes, yes. And they remind you of summer, and we all like summer.
They remind you of summer. Well, you know, yeah. I've got a pale blue linen tunic, haven't we all? Big, baggy fucking tunic. And I bought it when we were on a Greek island, and I can still see the stall, you know, on one of those promenades.
Yes.
And that sort of thing. And I've got quite a few things like that.
Well, I think you're better. I think you're better at buying clothes than me. Well, you are. I mean, you definitely are. I think there are very few.
I'm not anymore, Judith. I've not really bothered.
Have you still not got any of those bloody linen trousers right yet?
Well, do you know what? We have been contacted via email.
Oh, I saw.
By a shop in Edinburgh called Ragamuffin.
Oh,
and they're offering to sort of maybe set... Yeah, I don't know, they might want us to rent them. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a borrow thing, but they're sort of, they've sent us some photographs of their trousers and they're looking very, very promising. So any ladies who are sort of in similar situations to us over the linen trouser debacle, oh, because Judith, you know, I told you last week I had to send mine back.
Yeah.
But what I've found at Marks as well, so look at Ragamuffin, but for those of us who are refusing to go up a size because of lockdown lard up,
yes.
There's what they call at Marks and Spencer's beachwear trouser, which is a crinkle, you know, the crinkle cotton.
Ooh. I hate those.
Well,
you're not serious.
Don't dismiss. Don't. I have.
Oh,
known.
I have. La la la. I'm not listening. I think they're horrible.
Well, they are sort of, but not, because I've been wearing the navy blue ones I'm wearing now, and I've had them for years, and I've got them in black and white now, and they are very, very generously cut. That's all I'm going
well,
to say.
Well, yes, I'm sure they
if
are.
If you want to stick to a size 14, go for the beach trouser, because they have an extra yard in them. All right, that's all I'm going to say.
They haven't got one of those horrible tie things, have they? Like a puckered waistband with a little thing that goes through.
They are a tie waist. This is their biggest drawback. I totally agree with you, but I only wear with a long line shirt.
Okay.
So, you know, it is total. I would never. I mean, what are you meant to do? Tuck something in? Something. How could you do that? Can you imagine being the type of person? But then our daughters can. I mean, Phoebe wears a drawstring trouser and tucks things in. You know, because she's 32, but you and I are beyond that. So it's a long line tunic, isn't it?
It certainly is.
So anyway, yes. Judith, we kind of went at this episode like bulls in china shops. and I haven't really asked you how your mood is and where you've been.
Mood's okay. I've been up and down the bloody country again, I tell you. I think like everybody, you know, catching up. But no, we're back to Hexham for the weekend.
Now explain Hexham to those who haven't maybe known us for very long, and your
yes.
Hexham story.
Yes,
not too long, so obviously, because I know it and I don't want to get too bored.
Well, we lived there for 23 years, I think.
Yeah,
and moved away. And I suppose what happens, I mean, it's and we've really put our roots down here in Oxfordshire.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we brought the girls up there, so it's very important, etc. But it's interesting, so. This time we went out for 3 nights, and I kind of, although I had a lovely time, it was lovely to see people, there are fewer and fewer people kind of that I want to mm-hmm. see. And kind of, you know, we've sort of moved on a bit. I felt like we've kind of subdivided a bit now. And that's a natural thing, isn't
this
it?
I'm interested in some respects, because the sort of leaving of a place. I don't think, you know, with me, I have this in some respect with Lytham St Anne's.
Yeah.
Which is where, you know, I spent a lot of my growing up years. I wasn't born there. You know, I didn't live there until I was about 8 or 9. But I spent all my what do they call those years which
formative.
Are... Formative. Thank you, Judith. It's, yeah, sometimes your English degree really comes in useful. And I spent my formative years there, as did my sister, you know, the grammar school, the you know, my misspent youth, etc.
Oh, yeah.
And at least when my mother's still in the nursing home. And I think that, you know, at some point my mother will die because, you know, she is 92, but I think she'll see 100. And I wonder whether it does when I go back to Lytham, and I have become sort of weirdly fond of it, fonder than I was of it when I lived there. And I wonder in the future what it will be like to have no reason to go there again.
Ah, yes, you won't, will you? I mean, you haven't got any sort of mates there that you still want to see.
Not mates that you'd want to, you'd sort of could ring up and say, I'm going to come
regularly
stay 3 nights.
Want to see.
They'd go, Jesus Christ, I haven't seen you since the sixth form. Don't you dare darken my door. You know, you snogged my boyfriend.
Yes, I mean, it will be, it'll be strange, won't it? And actually, I suppose when you do eventually close the door on your mum's house or flat, then that will be, it'll be the end, big time, a big, yes, I mean, it's, but all equally, I think it's interesting, isn't it? How a house and a place, it does fade and you move on and that's sort of to be expected.
That's life, isn't it, Judith? That's
life. It's life.
So, you know, when you were staying with your friends and all that kind of thing, which, three nights. Was it a guest wing or was it in the same house?
It was lovely to see, really, really genuinely lovely to see them. But I did find the whole process of having to be sort of sociable. I think, you know, particularly because
after the year we've had,
it was just bloody exhausting. Absolutely. You know, having to make intelligent conversation over breakfast.
Did you eat at the table?
Yeah. We did not lunch. That would have been too much.
Lunch in the garden. Was it hot enough to sit in the garden?
On and off. It was Hexham, you know, on and off.
Because I used to remember going to stay with you in Hexham when we were writing the early Grumpy shows.
Yeah.
And this insistence used to have going outside when there was this glimmer of sun, this sort of weak lemonade stain in the sky amongst dark grey clouds. And you go, lunch in the garden. I'd be going, Jesus Christ, no, I was hoping you were going to light a fire.
Yeah, I know, it's a different bloody climate, it really is. But no, I don't know whether that will get better, sort of staying with friends like that. But I think I'm not used to it. And I think particularly I am really bad first thing in the morning now. In fact, so much
really?
So. I just have to have a kind of two cups of tea on my own. Do you know what I mean? I can't, you know, up in my dressing gown, oh, how was your night? You know, or what are you doing today? Blah, blah, blah. I've got to ease myself into it now.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
So you've got a routine, haven't you?
I've got a routine. I have a little bit of quiet time, a little bit of meditative time.
You like a potter in the morning, don't you?
I like a potter. I like a, I do. I need a potter.
Even if it's in someone else's kitchen. Were you tempted to say, sorry, this is my pottering time. Get out of your own kitchen. I'll let you know when you're welcome. So you're back from your friends. What about motorway service stations on the way to Hexham, on the way back? Did you hit any good ones, any particularly crap ones? Because people are genuinely interested.
Genuinely, yes. Well, we went A1, M, and then there's a tricky bit. I always do this. I don't really understand what we do, but we sort of go A1, M18 for a bit of this.
Judith, you know that I don't do road numbers. We always call them the big road by that Sainsbury's on the roundabout and then past your Auntie Jean's. I mean, I really do genuinely think, because I've got a sat-nav now, because my new car and I've got my
driving
confidence. Oh,
have you? Built in? Is it built in?
No, it's not. It's too, I think it's too early
for that.
You've got it
stuck on.
I've got stuck on. Yeah,
Jeff got it. That's fine.
Yeah, it's my phone. It's my phone, basically.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I get out of the car and go, where's my phone? And it's stuck on the window, isn't it, in the gizmo.
There's only one really good one, but everyone else has cottoned on. I see that.
Is that Waze?
It's what?
Is it Waze?
No, it's Weatherby. Weatherby. What's Waze? Waze?
I think, are you talking about, you're talking with
service stations, Simon.
Okay, you're back to service stations.
Yes.
I was talking about sat-nav apps. Let's go back to Weatherby. Whether will weather be good? Oh, whether the weather be bad? Oh, whether the weather, the weather, the weather, the weather, the weather, the something.
Oh my
Weatherby is interesting.
Is it?
Yes, right. There's a film. Right. For starters, there is a film called Weatherby.
Is there really?
Yes.
Is there? Is there?
Oh, yes, there is. And it was directed by Emma Thompson's mum. And I've never
seen it.
Oh,
I like her. I like her.
Yes, there you go, you see. I'm just dropping nuggets of information as we go along. But when you're on tour in the north, there is a route that goes via Weatherby wherever you're going. You end up... Judith, I'm just... Well, anyway, is there a good... No, I'm not. I'm stopping it there. I'm not interested. Okay, but anyway, there we go. We've gone off on a tangent. We're going to bring ourselves back. Okay, mood-wise, where are we on our moods? I've kind of evened out because I was very up and down.
Yes, you were. You were. And you've had Phoebe go to New Zealand, so... Yes.
Shall I talk about that now?
Yes,
or is
please.
It later on in our notes?
Tell us about it now.
It's very funny because I've been on the phone this morning.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah. You know this FaceTime, is it called FaceTime, that app thing? That
Oh, you've seen her as well. That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's night time there. It's like sort of 11 hours ahead. I can't get my head around the time difference.
That's a big old difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big old... She's jet-lagged to fuck. She really is.
Of course she is.
I mean, it's quite dramatic what they do. Okay, for those that have only just tuned into this, Phoebe is my daughter. She's got a work permit to go and do a television writing job for a few weeks in New Zealand. So this involves flying to New Zealand via Singapore. All fine, premium economy. She said she was quite comfortable. You know, she's quite
good.
Small. Nobody sitting next to her. She couldn't eat the satay chicken. Singapore poor Airlines, that's all you get. Fortunately, took enough preps to get her to New Zealand.
Clever girl.
Yeah.
Sensible.
Because it's all she's got all the allergies. So anyway, she gets to Auckland.
Yeah.
And they are met off the plane by government staff. But you know, recruits like an NHS brigade in full PPE. And this happens at Singapore as well. Segregated from everybody else, marched through, not allowed to stop anywhere, put in special transit things.
Oh, you'd feel like you were a sort of...
It's very, very sci-fi. Really sci-fi.
Oh, my word.
So she's in Auckland and you're taken to this waiting area to be told where, and you have no choice whatsoever where you are going to be quarantined.
Yeah, for 2 weeks. Is it still 2 weeks?
Yes, 2 weeks. And you have COVID tests very regularly. Doesn't matter how many you have before the 2 weeks, you still stay for 2 weeks. So she's in this waiting bay.
Yeah.
And waiting to see where she's going to get quarantined. And she thinks, well, you know, I'm working in Auckland. Surely it'll be a hotel in Auckland. No, she's been quarantined in Christchurch, which is on the Southern Island, you know, Auckland's North Island.
Another flight.
She has a three-hour wait for an internal 90-minute flight to Christchurch.
Oh,
but then,
God.
Literally, there's no transit at all because the hotel is the Novotel in Christchurch Airport. It's literally sort of within the airport grounds.
Is it?
So she's overlooking the bus terminal.
Oh my
It's raining.
God.
It's much colder on the South Island.
South Island, yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's raining, it's cold. It's like, and it's called like day one is day zero. They count day zero, day one, day two. And she, but get this, right. She was asked whether she was alcohol dependent because you're literally sort of marched to a room and it's a big room. It's very Novotel. It's one of those rooms that I never get these hotel rooms, and you'll have seen them as well. You know, when you walk into a hotel room, there's two double beds and you think, well, what's that for really? You know, it's like a sort of footballer's shag thing, but on a budget. So she's in that, and she's quite pleased with that because, you know, Phoebe, she loves bed. She's a bit like me. She says, oh, it's great. I've got one for sleeping in and one for working in.
Do you know, I was on the tip of my tongue because one would be like your work surface, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a work surface.
Put everything out.
She set her office up in this
on the second
bed.
Yeah.
Then she's
good
got
idea.
One clear of clutter for sleeping in, So she gets asked if she has an alcohol dependency.
Gosh, because, it's a trick question, is it?
I'd just tick the box. I'd tick it twice.
Because you get some alcohol.
You would get, if you tick a box, you would get a couple
Blimey.
Of units just to tide you over.
Right.
Because you can buy wine from the grocery store. You can get deliveries in. You can get certain things. You're not allowed to take spirits into the hotel. Mm. And Phoebe only drinks spirits because of allergy things and histamine problems.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah. So she's
going to be completely out. But that, it doesn't really, but she's not, you know, she's not like me. I was like saying to her, God, Phoebe, you know, tick that box, ticks. And she said she's already hoarding, you know, when she, if they get, she gets offered a snack or anything. Yeah. You know, oh, there's a spare banana that comes with breakfast and she doesn't feel like it. She doesn't leave it on the tray. She's no, getting
very
a little,
sensible. Yeah, little, yeah. Little stash.
A little
that she's
stash.
Putting in the cupboard.
And the fridge as well. There's a
so
fridge,
do they have so. A cleaner that comes in to clean no, it? How do
no,
they do that?
I think you're living can't in your do. Own squalor. I mean, you know, if you come on, I suppose you're allowed to say, may I have some? I think you might have to do it yourself.
Yeah,
and there's no bath, it's just a shower. So,
oh, I mean, that's a bit miserable.
It's for me, I'd be going insanier.
Yeah.
I'd
that
probably
would be
have
tough.
To say, no, I'm very alcohol dependent because you haven't got baths. That's 3 units a day for me, actually.
Is she allowed to go outside? Can she walk out?
She
about?
Wasn't on day zero or day one, but now today she had a negative COVID test. So she was taken for a 45-minute walk around the bus terminal.
It's very like a prison thing,
because you're not allowed to fraternise with anybody else. She says there's a lot of nodding and smiling, and that sort of thing. But yeah,
that's tough. That is, she'll be on the phone all the time, won't she?
Well. It's just.
Are you leaving your phone on us at night?
No, I didn't. Last night I didn't because there were, you know, the other night when she was landing in Christchurch, there was a 2:30 a.m. I'm here. I'm fine. I'm safe.
Good.
And I did not go back to sleep after that. So I'm turning it off. I mean, the thing is, she's not allowed out. It's a bit. I know that only certain kind of hysterical mothers will get this.
I know
this.
What you're going to say.
You can fill in the sentence.
Well, because at least you know she's safe.
I know where she is. I know where she is, but of course...
You know exactly where she is.
But, you know, of course, what was the first word that came to my head when she said she was being transited to Christchurch?
Do you know what I mean?
Let's not even say it out loud.
No. Very rare earthquakes. Very
rare.
Oh,
don't
even
say it. She did that. Oh,
very rare.
Anyway, her hotel's on stilts, so it's been built to withstand.
Oh, well, that's good. I think you should just wipe that off.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, what you need is one of our older and wider listeners, don't we, in New Zealand,
to take us some tuck. Yeah, I don't know whether they'd let anything in, but maybe they should, you know, a little smuggling by the back door or something. I think she might want some soup.
Yeah, I don't think that we can rely on our gang members to sort of master the drone thing. Do you know what
I mean? God, can you imagine the chaos that would ensue, especially around an airport, Judith? Whatever you do, please do not try and drone drop Phoebe anything in her airport hotel because you will go down for life, okay?
Yeah,
Even if we were on the jury, we would say, no, this deserves a sentence, I'm afraid.
I think a bit of tabard work might be good. I think, you know what I mean? I think maybe donning a tabard. I think one of the gang members might be able to do that and sneak something in for her.
Oh, it's a very good idea. Yes, it is indeed. Anyway, she's, you know, it's got to be done. Everyone's doing it. It's how New Zealand has managed to
keep the virus down.
You know. Anyway, Culture Corner, Judith. It is time for our Culture Corner.
What you've been
doing? I'm going to start with a gallery.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because I saw one of the most inspirational shows that I have seen in recent time.
Oh,
I think
wow.
possibly my favourite show post, you know, the restrictions loosening
right.
Since the galleries were allowed to. It's a woman called Eileen Agar, now dead. She was born at the turn of the century, 1899, and she has an exhibition at the Whitechapel. It is the best exhibition I have seen since the beginning of 2020.
Wow.
It is, I mean, I knew a little bit about her. I know of her as a surrealist, and she became very famous for wearing a hat called the Boulabaisse hat, which had lots of fish on it. But that's beside
the
point.
Oh, how funny! You know, like the soup.
Yes, yes, but she's kind of a serious artist as well, and so that kind of hijacked some of her better work, I think. I have a really odd relationship with surrealism. I don't
really like it. Oh no, I love them.
But I have to say, this is a room. These are rooms of just colour, colour, colour. I was so excited. The gallery is looking so splendid, and they painted the walls. You go around the gallery, and there are all these different coloured walls, and you're thinking, "Oh, that's actually really nice." It would, you know, I just know that you would love it so much, Judith, and I know that, you know, very dear friends of mine. I was going around it thinking, "Oh, my friend Julie would love this. Oh, Judith would love this."
Oh,
so I just want people to go and see it if you possibly can.
Oh, I must go and see it then. Is it on for a while?
It's on for a while, but if you're not in London, it's worth seeing if you can see it online. The only drawback of the Whitechapel Gallery, which I'm realising is one of my favourite galleries in London, because it's constantly and consistently surprising and good, they have a very difficult cafe menu.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh, like?
Where are you with Skate Wings?
Oh, I love Skate Wings. One of my favourite things.
Oh, Judith,
don't tell me you don't like Skate.
Well, I've never had... No, I'm scared of Skate.
You've never had it before? Oh, it's fabulous.
But isn't it a bony, bony, bony fish?
Well, not really, because you weren't eating it properly. You've got to eat it one side, flip it over, eat the other. No, it's dead easy, because they're like big bones. What were you doing with it?
Well, I didn't order it. I didn't go in the cafe because it had Skate Wings.
Oh, no.
That drove me
out. You're wrong. I'll cut you some Skate when I see
you. Oh, no, please don't. I'm really scared of them.
I think
it's because I once saw some raw Skate and I felt very, very ill.
Yes, it's an odd looking thing and they're big.
Yeah, you know,
actually,
they weren't allowed
to
put them on show in the early days of fishmongery.
Why not?
Because they look like there's a bit of the Skate that looks a bit like a woman's vagina.
Oh,
so they had to be hidden. Yeah, yeah.
That's
a law. Yeah, it was. They
How
were
fascinating.
Considered slightly obscene. I've told you some very interesting things
you
today,
have,
Judith.
Actually, you do
now
sometimes.
And again, you've gone, and then you've had to stop your snore law and think, no, let her just say this. But you might want to verify that on the Google.
That's exactly what I'm going to do when we finish. But yes,
absolutely. So that's my gallery thing.
Yes,
and I really do want to just. Before we get into TV and books, can I just say theatre? There's only a couple of weeks left of Harm at the Bush, and I keep getting texts from all sorts of people who've seen it. It is a wonderful performance by the actress Kelly Goff. It's only 70 minutes. If you live in West London, the Bush Theatre, it's a very safe environment. They're very cautious about their social distancing. You're allocated a seat, and I felt incredible. I'm much safer there than on the tube, I can tell you that.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
So on to TV now. Judith, over to you.
Well, I was enthusing last week about Time, wasn't I? This amazing three-parter by, Jimmy McGovern, about serving time. So finished that. And I've been thinking about it a lot. You know what I mean? The sign of a good drama is that, isn't it? Is that you think, oh, yes, actually, that was a good point. And, oh, that's amazing. So I really enjoyed it. And I raved about it so much. I wonder whether you've...
I've started it. It's very dark, isn't it? I mean, I'm still on Ep 1. And... yes, I can't say it's an easy watch or a fun watch.
No, it's not
watch
an easy
yet.
Watch. No, but it is extraordinary.
It ain't no picnic being in prison.
It really isn't.
Sean Bean, who's a teacher who we know has done some, it's a dangerous driving charge. I'm getting to the meat of the story, which is the prison warden's son is in another
the
prison.
The dilemma. Yes,
and there's a dilemma coming.
Extraordinary dilemma.
And the acting, of course, is very, very good.
It is. Well, that dilemma just becomes, you know, sort of deeper. And it's. I think it's a really important bit of TV.
I'm looking forward to finishing it off, Judith. Not in a way that I want it over, but I'm looking forward to see it, how it reveals itself.
How it pays
out. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you've got a recommendation for BBC Sounds.
Yes. Have you heard of Annika Stranded? It's Nicola Walker, a kind of Norwegian detective, 15 minutes. They've been going actually for quite a long time, I think. So there's 6 series. But each little episode is kind of, the crime is kind of solved each time. They're just rather nice.
Okay,
you know, if you're gardening or something, or you're pottering around, it's
When I saw that note, I thought it was something by Annika Rice. I love Annika Rice, but okay, it's not Annika Rice. It's Nicola Walker.
Yes.
And it's on BBC Sounds, which means it's free.
Yes.
Okay. Film?
Well, we finally saw A Promising Young Woman, which I've been trying to see for bloody months. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
It's very interesting. It's basically, everybody knows what it's about. It's about this woman whose sort of friend was sort of gang raped, really, wreaking revenge and trapping men into, thinking that she's drunk and taking her back, and then them trying to sort of, basically semi-rape her, or indeed rape her.
And then she reveals herself as very sober.
Yes,
and,
exactly. It gets much more sort of serious than that, really, and it's good, although I'm not sure about how it ends.
Do you think it was hyped up too much for you?
A little bit, I do, okay. And it was a tiny bit one note in the sense that, the message, if you like, it was just sort of very banged home, in a way that I thought was a little bit disappointing, and it did, if I'm honest, show up this sort of big disconnect with my youth and today's attitude to it. In that,
are you talking about sexual assault that you accepted?
Yes,
I'm not blaming you, by the way.
Yeah.
The sort of kind of experiences that I think you've hinted to me that happened to you in your past.
Lots of them. The pressure that I was put under to sleep with people that I had no real desire to sleep with because it was sort of expected. I mean, I never really admitted this sort of publicly before.
And this is the industry that you're working
in. Well, yeah, you know.
It's
the TV industry. And I was ruthlessly ambitious. And I think rather than sort
of... Did you sleep your way to the top, Judith? Is that what you're telling me now?
Well, I don't think it ever really helped at all. But I think it was kind of almost like... obviously it didn't happen every time by any means. But I think 2 or 3 times it probably did. And, if I'm honest, I kind of just thought, well, I hope it doesn't last very long. I mean, isn't that awful that I did that?
Looking back, there was a great big muddy water surrounding, I think, more your sexual experiences than mine. I don't know. I think because mine weren't ever particularly work-related. They were just sort of club-related. And you felt that, I don't know, sometimes you snog a bloke and you just think, oh, well, this means I wake up at his tomorrow morning, doesn't it? And sometimes you'd feel quite tired at the prospect of that. But for some reason, you felt like you couldn't just opt out and just go, no, getting a night bus.
That's right, that you were just sort of like on a kind of committed course.
Yeah,
and that it would be very difficult to change your mind. I think there was always a point at which... I thought, well, okay, so we're committed now. I mean, obviously there is anyway, isn't there? But I don't think there was any sort of sense that it would be okay or a good thing to do to say, do you know what, I've changed my mind.
I've changed my mind.
I didn't have the language.
Women have got that
it.
Voice now.
And thank God they
right
have.
Up to the last minute, right up
yes.
to the last, it can be... just before penetration, where in back in the 70s, we thought, oh, I've gone this far, I've taken my pants off.
Well, yes, exactly.
And that
it would have been our fault. And,
yes, very much so.
It
very
really,
much so.
I wouldn't
if
have been able to
violent,
vocalise
it. Would have
it.
Been our
yes.
fault. Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Because we frustrated them.
Yeah, and thank God that has changed.
It was called
prick teasing,
wasn't it? It was called prick teasing. And,
absolutely.
Being called a prick tease was a bad thing. In actual fact, it was a good thing. You were just saying, actually, this isn't a good idea.
Yeah. But
I'm
it
not
was...
prepared.
Yes.
And I'm also very drunk and we shouldn't be doing this. Yep. Things have changed for the better.
And how?
Anyway, we've all...
anyway,
terrible. Anyway, let's move on from sexual assault, shall we?
Yes.
Books, Judith, books.
I read vastly slower than you, so I'm still on Once Upon a River, which is shaping up well, and it's about sort of the area that I live in, really, but sort of hundreds of years ago. And yeah, it's all right, it's okay. I'm not absolutely sure yet, but no.
Are you listening or reading?
Oh, listening. Always listen these days.
Yeah.
Well,
we've got things to do. We're pottering. We've got things that you've got marmalade. Well, not now. It's not marmalade season. What a stupid thing to say, Jenny, for heaven's sake. I have finished The Pact by Sharon Bolton. It is not the same as the TV drama, but it throws up similar themes of guilt and shouldering blame. It's a good little psychological thriller. And just when you think she's lost a grip on this plot, she gives it a lovely final twist. It's a good holiday read.
I like the sound of that.
I think you'd find it really easy. You know, it's an easy read, Judith. It is a little bit preposterous now and again. You go, oh, no, stop it. Stop it now. But it's a page-turner and she knows what she's doing. Mm. That's Sharon Bolton, who I think has written quite a number of books, and I will be keeping an eye on other titles. And Jeff and I are still on Malibu Rising.
Oh, yes. Which,
this is by the same author as Daisy Jones and the Six. It's a woman called Taylor Jenkins Reid. It's a little aimless at the moment, but I think it might still kick into gear. And it's a very gentle kind of summary. It's set in Malibu. And I just listened to it, hoping it'll give me Malibu beach dreams. Because that's where I'd like to be at the moment. I'd like to be in Malibu. Sometimes I have an old friend, Patsy Palmer. I was once in a West End show with her. I'm name dropping, fuck it. I've not worked for a long time. And she moved out to Malibu, Patsy. And
wow.
I sometimes look at her Instagram account and it's just, I find it fascinating.
Should go and visit. Why don't you go and visit her?
No, she's not that kind of mate, Judith. If I turned up on her doorstep, poor girl. No, we worked together once and I really like her and I think she's great, but we're not, you know, it's not.
Oh, okay.
No, God, no. It's like she turned up at my house and I've come for 3 nights. I'd go, Patsy, love. Yeah, give us a break.
You should go. I think you should go to Malibu.
I'd love to go to Malibu.
Yeah.
We can't go at the moment.
Not at the moment.
They don't want
us. To next year. No.
That'd be nice. Because we did get an email, Judith. We got an email from that kind of... Is it nearby from San Diego?
Oh, now that's a good question. I don't think it's so far away. Yes, we had a lovely email, didn't we, from somebody called Gavin, who's just turned 60 and lives in San Diego. And I think that it might be in the sort of Malibu neck of the woods.
Should we go and stay with him, then?
He didn't ask us to stay, did he?
We have to wait to be asked. I think that is the rule with staying with people. I don't think you can just go and knock on the door. I think the rule is you have to be asked.
Probably okay. More than once. But he's a big fan. Isn't that lovely?
Wasn't it lovely? It was a really,
it was a
really
nice
generous,
letter,
lovely lesson.
Yes, it was.
We really
it
did
was.
Appreciate
it. Was.
It. And
yeah.
We got another email from Catherine Matthews. She's 50 in 2 months. Just bought her first Breton top in Lou, which is the classic place to buy your first Breton top. You see, this is what I mean about empathy with clothes. You'll never forget where you bought your first Breton from. And then she's very much in our club because she couldn't remember whether it was cool or not. And then flicking through the Sunday Times style section, the Breton top is cool again. They're a bit claggy, I find. A good Breton is quite a thick material.
Yes, it is. And I know what you
yes,
mean.
You need a lightweight Breton at the moment.
Yeah, they're a bit clingy, you see. The tub is a little bit clingy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to look for the Breton that's cut on the square.
Good tip. Very, very good tip.
A wide, or get one a size up at least.
Yeah.
So we're on to our problem page
problem
now.
Problem page, yes.
Our first one is from Mary Wright. She's 45 and 9 months. She would like any advice of any item of clothing that would help with the hot flushes and night sweats. She's finding it hard to sleep on top of the covers with a ceiling. She's got a ceiling fan.
Wow.
And still can't keep cool.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Now, that is hot, isn't it? That does. Yeah, that's hot. Yeah, what to wear? I don't know. Well, cotton, I suppose. I didn't really have the night sweats, so I'm not the right person to ask.
I didn't have a night sweat either. You see,
bloody
we set
useless.
Ourselves up as problem aunties, and then we get problems and say, well, that didn't happen to me, so I've no idea.
Don't care. Yeah. I think cold
flannels. I think that you want a cold flannel. And they say that if your feet are cold, if you keep your feet cold, it keeps the rest of you cooler.
And your forehead. Yeah, actually, yeah. I have done that occasionally. If I've been in a really hot hotel room.
I've wet the sheets, not as in with my own urine. I've run them under a cold tap.
Have you done that?
Yeah, gosh, I've done that.
Gosh, that
is hot. Myself in a cold, wet shroud. We have been advised that silk pillowcases keep you cool. Mm. Now, I've never gone down the silk route for a pillowcase because I'm a bit dirty. And, you know, I think silk might involve hand washing and who can be asked. But that might help.
Sounds nice,
silk.
Though, don't they? Well, like the idea of a silk.
Are you thinking silk or are you thinking satin, Judith? I
might be thinking satin, mightn't I?
I think you've gone full sexy satin there. Izzy Lawrence got in touch, Judith.
Oh, the lovely, lovely Izzy Lawrence. And she said, because she felt that she needed to remind us that she was the tall one who spent time in our cupboard at Avalon last year, which is
like
when we still had
forget.
Guests.
And like, we forget. She's 6'3". She's absolutely beautiful. And she said, how do you buy gifts for men? Mm, they're impossible.
Good
particularly
problem.
If they have dicky tickers and don't drink. And if the stuff yeah. they're into is incomprehensible gibberish and they already have all the books about it. Izzy's got two fathers and a teetotal partner who likes chocolate a bit much and shouldn't be encouraged. So she wants... Okay.
tricky. What would you say?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what do men deserve? Yeah, when I was younger, I once really dithered about what to buy my dad, and I bought him a chamois leather and a bucket.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
lovely.
It was a sort of car washing kit.
Oh, bless you. It's
very
sweet.
1970s,
like it?
Isn't it?
It is. You know? My dad always had a chamois leather. I can see him now squeezing it out. Yeah. No, I wonder if they still sell them. Yes, a very nice present.
Maybe you could get a personalised, you know, initialled chamois leather, a really smart one, in a gift set. We're really scraping the barrel here. Agony aunts.
Oh.
Soap in the shape of golf balls. That was another popular gift. Do you remember
yes.
that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Jeff?
just called me Jeff.
Yes, I did.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. I've never been very good at buying presents for Mike, I've realised. I mean, I tell you what I did, because I gave this a bit of thought. I'm ashamed to say that I've often bought Mike things that either I wanted, like, you know, the new Elbow CD or something like that, or that...
terrible person.
I am. I bought him, in the past, I bought him a cookery course. He didn't want
those
to
Those are
go
good. Those
cookery
are, I mean,
course.
They're not easy now, are they? But they used to be a great thing, a sort of... Well, I don't know. One year, everybody in our family bought each other a Thai cookery course, a day-long Thai cookery course.
Oh, so
nobody
you all
went
together?
No, we never did it because we were all too busy. It was back in those days. You know, we just stood in a circle and swapped these vouchers around, Thai cookery vouchers.
I don't think Mike ever... The thing is, Mike didn't want to do it in the first place. So, do you know what I mean? It was I wanted him to learn how to cook Italian cookery. I think it's an experience. I think you need to buy them an experience. The best present I ever bought Mike was an escape room that the four of us went on, and we had a fantastic time. And I would say that is the best one out of a load of shit I bought him over the years. Because, you know...
I wonder if they're back operating yet. But that is lovely idea,
yeah,
isn't it?
They might be. Because actually, you know, in Marks and Spencer's at Christmas, they have that sort of table, don't they, in the men's department with men's gifts. And they're awful, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? They're horrible sort of, you know, pen and kind of sets and revolting sort of, you do.
Matchy things, like a burgundy V-neck and
even I can see that they're bad taste. So yeah, it is tricky, but an experience, I think, would be my
See,
my
Jeff's
answer.
Daft. He always wants something that, you know, I can't possibly... He wants a sort of some kind of Rolls Royce. Or just says stupid things. I say, what do you want for your birthday? And he says, Rolls Royce Silver Shadow. I think, well, you're not going to get one of those, you idiot.
Jigsaws. You're all right with the jigsaws
all right with the jigsaw.
You've got years ahead of you with the jigsaw gifts. Yeah.
And I do genuinely think, actually, if a man is in touch and has a garden or a balcony or enough sort of little yard outdoors, and he's not the type of bloke that's going to sneer, I think a David Austin rose or a Sarah Raven rose in a pot, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, or secateurs. Can't go wrong with a pair of secateurs. You can never have too many pairs of secateurs.
A good set of non-rust secateurs.
Yes, secateurs, I would definitely say. Definitely.
Yeah, there you go. We've been really helpful.
Oh, we've pulled out of the nosedive there. Yeah. I think with the other
one. These days, they, you know, if you go in sort of artisan markets and all that shit,
Jeez.
There's those... Well, not, yeah, cheese. The membership of the Cheese Club is terribly expensive, terribly expensive. Oh. And if they've got Dickie Hearts, you've got to be careful of the cholesterol.
That's true. That's true.
But they do things like, you know, bone handled shaving shavers, things like that, you know, artisan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, artisan. Go the artisan route.
Whittled.
Oh, whittled. Things. Whittled. Yeah, yeah, you're all right. Just, whittled. Yeah,
just give them a stick and a knife. Get turned to whittle. Whittle on. Okay, we have whittled on. We have whittered on. We have.
Yes.
I've got to go and get my click and collect. Jesus God, Judith.
I know.
I've got
to go. We've been nattering for ages. We want some more problems, though, don't we? I think we'd like some more problems. Now,
well, only ones that we can solve, because we've not been great on today's, really.
We haven't, but we might, you know. Yes, we'd like some more problems. Now, listen, email address before we go. I've remembered it. olderwiderpod@gmail.com. I have got it off to 80. Yes! It's only taken 2 years.
I'd like to offer you the Instagram thing.
2 years.
But what's our Instagram? Fucking hell, man. Older and Wider Podcast. Yeah. All right, everybody.
Oh,
you love you and leave you. Have a good week, Judith, and I'll call
yes,
you.
Yes, and you, and you. Thank okay, you. Toodlepip. Bye.
Lots of love, everyone. Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.